2017 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of the April 11, 2017 meeting. All right, do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Vukelja. We do have two cases that are in compliance that are not reflected on the agenda. Number two, SMG 0417154864 Hollywood Street was compliance May 5th, 2017.
That's Verona Prairie?
Yes, sir. And on page five, number 16, SMG 051732 William J. and Pia McNeil for 320 Woodland Avenue was compliance May 8th. And I believe that's all I'm aware of.
Very good. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, it is.
All right, we will go directly then to case number three, Brian Carter. Anyone here for the respondent, Brian Carter? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Good morning, Vukelja. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This property is before you for a determination of imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the owner. Nothing's changed with the property since it has been cited. Mr. Sanders is requesting that a $500 per day fine be imposed, a maximum of $15,000. And that request is based on the conditions of the structure and the fact that he has gotten no response. It is a rental property, and I will tender Mr. Sanders for any additional factual information that you may require.
So we're just being totally ignored by Mr. Carter?
Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. Yes, no contact at all. We made numerous attempts to mail and post the property. We found a different address. We even served that address and nothing come. He never responded to that. I believe the tenants are out now because they couldn't live in that condition anymore the way the house was, and it's just sitting there.
Unit 304, is this a multifamily dwelling?
It's like a condo unit. It looks like a set of apartments, but they're individual condos.
Okay. All right. I'm finding the respondent, the sum of $500 per day, commencing May 4, 2017, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000.
Mr. Vukelja, there's also the rental license, business tax receipt. I failed to mention that. So the additional $250 per day, $250 administrative cost.
In addition to that, we will further order the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain the business tax receipt. Case number four is in compliance. Case number five is in compliance. Case number six, Vernal Johnson and Patricia Roper. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. Could you both state your names, please?
Verna Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes Johnson.
Mercedes? Okay. You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first as far as the status of the property and the amount of the fine that they're looking for.
Just one.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Ms. Vakelja, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspectors, Jerome McCoy, Mr. McCoy, reports that they've begun doing work. At this point, the work that has been done isn't satisfactory. They still are waiting their rental inspection, residential rental inspection, because that's still pending. We're asking to amend to the next cutoff for everything to for them to come into compliance.
Okay.
And I will tender Mr. McCoy for any other additional factual information.
All right, Mr. Johnson, the city has indicated on the basis of what work they have seen you do, they're inclined to give you additional time up to June 7th to come into compliance.
Yes, sir.
What say you to that?
Yes, sir.
That doable?
Yes, sir.
We're going to get it done?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until June 7th to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, folks, good luck.
One question.
Fire.
The tenant doesn't like to let you in.
What now?
The tenant does not like to let you in the apartment.
Okay.
So that's a problem.
Evict your tenant.
Well, that's what we're working on. The next step was to ask a cop or a sheriff to come with us to get into the place whenever we need to do the work.
Well, the only thing we're interested around here is progress. If the tenant's an obstacle, as long as you're taking reasonable actions to either make things happen with the tenant or remove the tenant, then we'll take that into consideration. Okay. I'm not here to tell you to throw your tenant out, but I am going to be here to tell you to get into compliance. And if the tenant's standing in the way, then you need to do what you need to do.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Okay.
Case number 7, Joseph Jenseski. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this property is before you from position of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. As you can see noted, this is a case that initiated back in May of 2016. There were a number of things that been working on over time, but Mr. Stinson reports that the progress is insufficient. They're just not making an adequate effort to come into compliance. Mr. Stinson requests that a fine of $300 per day be imposed to a maximum of $10,000. I tender Mr. Stinson for any factual inquiries. Okay. Is this the...
That is the... He's speaking on behalf of the owner.
Okay. Okay. What I'm being informed is there's someone here who wants to speak on behalf of the owner. I don't have any other additional information. And of course, they need to come forward and be sworn.
Sir, if you would please step forward and be sworn.
State your name, please.
Joseph Rusteski.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Are you the respondent?
No, my uncle, Joseph Jenseski, is the respondent.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not in compliance, and apparently the city's dissatisfied with the effort, and they're suggesting I ought to impose a fine in the amount of $300 per day, which will cap out at $10,000 if the property's not brought into compliance before the fine reaches that amount. So what say you on behalf of your uncle?
Well, I would ask that we don't impose that. Unfortunately, my uncle was working on a fixed income and didn't really have the physical manpower to do it. I came down from Pennsylvania to actually do the physical labor for him. And we've, you know, in the short time that I've been down here, we've made great strides in, you know, in the condition of the home. I've completed the plumbing as per the plans. I've had to redo the framing that was improperly done and, you know, basically backtrack a few steps to you know, two steps forward, you know. And our next step is the electrical, and, you know, we're at the point now we're about to make, you know, a lot of progress in a short period of time.
Okay. Mr. Stinson, how much of this work he's talking about would have required permits along the way?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. Almost everything is going to require permits. The roof needs to be repaired or replaced. He's got electrical work that needs to be done. He's got plumbing work that needs to be done. Almost everything on the property is going to require a permit, except for painting and stucco.
And cleaning up the trash.
And cleaning up the trash. That's correct. Like we said, this case has begun since last year. There's been minimal progress made, but we need to get the owner a little bit more motivated.
Okay. Have you obtained any permits for any of the work that you've been doing?
I believe that he did obtain permits.
For?
I believe he did obtain permits for plumbing, for electrical, and for other work that he had done, yes.
Okay, well, have we had licensed contractors doing this permitted work?
For the permit work, he's been basically, you know, he's been doing himself. You know, him and myself have been, you know, I've been helping him.
Are you an electrician?
Yes.
A licensed electrician?
No, sir. I'm not a licensed electrician. I've, you know, by trade, you know, been doing this for many, many years. And, you know, been coming down to, you know, to help him to do it as, you know, as I understand, you know, was basically as long as you're doing the work yourself and it meets up to code that it wasn't necessary to have a licensed electrician do it.
Well, I'll let you talk to the City of Daytona Beach about that. How far away, in your opinion, are you from coming into compliance?
He's basically about a month away from being ready to, you know, month to 2 months to being complete. That a finished project, because he still has to, you know, the sheetrock and everything. He's basically about a month away, because the sheetrock doesn't take long. That's only basically a 2-day project.
When was the last time the city inspected this property?
That was this past Thursday. These photographs are from this past Thursday.
And from what you saw this past Thursday, you're what, seeing some progress, no progress, illegal progress?
There has been some progress. The electrical panel has been restored to the exterior of the building. He has begun to start doing some of the electrical work, but nothing measurable. So the major work or the major progress that has been made has been on the electrical side, restoring power to the property.
Is this gentleman allowed to do the electrical work there?
No, he's going to have to get a permit. There is one permit that is active. It is for general renovation. But when it comes to getting all of these tasks inspected, there's going to have to be a licensed contractor, electrician, and plumber is going to have to sign off on all of that.
How do you plan on addressing that?
We have a family member that builds homes in the area from Microflex, and he will have his guys come in to check it and to make sure that everything is up to spec.
And what's the status of the roof?
The roof, as far as I know, has been replaced. You know, there's no leaks in the roof. There's no damage in the roof. I don't know. I wasn't here for that part of the project.
Okay. From the city's perspective, what have we knocked off this notice of violations? It says working without permit roof, and now I'm told the roof's been replaced. Is that your understanding?
On this list, they have obtained a general permit, so you can cross the permit actual portion off. There is still outside storage on the property. They have obtained power because they've restored the power panel to the property. There is no water on the property yet. No one's living there. So utilizing, well, it's, I'll have to check on the water situation.
Okay.
The screens still need to be addressed. The garage door still needs to be addressed. The fencing still needs to be addressed. And he will be residing there, so we can remove the need for the BTR, business tax receipt, and the rental licensing and inspection.
You intend to occupy this house?
My uncle does.
Your uncle does. So you're telling me the roof should be in. Once it's inspected, you're telling me the roof should be in compliance?
Yes, sir.
What about the outside storage?
The outside storage, as far as
junk,
I've cleaned all that stuff is out. There's only one corner that has, I believe, 2 4-horses and a piece of plywood on the top of it. Everything else is out except for a pile of cinder blocks that I'm waiting on a dumpster to be dropped off to get the garbage out.
All right, lack of power. So you're working on the electrical now?
Yes, sir. The electrical, there is power to the home now. We've, redone the outside weatherhead and the cutoff that was required, the breaker box that was required because of the distance from the panel interior to the main incoming. And this water has been restored to the home. I've completed the plumbing there. And the water has been, was turned on last week.
All right. What's the status of the screens?
Right now, the windows are boarded up because, they've had issues of people breaking into the home and stealing stuff. So I left the windows boarded up until I'm able to, get a little further along where I can take my tools out of there.
How about the garage door?
The garage door is fully functional.
And the fencing?
The fencing, I have not done any work on. The fencing on the back side of the house, we've talked with the neighbor because that fence actually belongs to the neighbor. So we've discussed with the neighbor about splitting the cost of putting the fence. That if they split the material cost, that I'll do the labor.
I remember your uncle coming down here, then he just kind of disappeared on us. Why is that?
He had to be in Pennsylvania.
And one more time, how quickly can you get what's left to be done?
We need about a month.
This is not the time to be looking for much generosity, by the way, in case you can't tell.
I can see that, it's been, I know dealing with my uncle is not easy. I'm down here to make sure that everything gets done. This is what I do for a living. And, I basically need about a month and a half to be to a full, complete, finished project. That home done. Electrical, plumbing, floors finished, wall sheetrock, moldings, everything finished.
House isn't occupied right now, is it?
No, sir.
And it's boarded up, you indicated, for security purposes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by July 5, 2017. In the interim, the house is not to be rented, lived in, or otherwise occupied until the property is brought into compliance. I want the outside storage gone immediately. I don't want the neighbors seeing anything but the exterior of a house. And that means the yard's maintained and everything else as well.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not in compliance on July 5 of 2017, a fine in the amount of $300 per day will automatically go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached $10,000. So the good news is I gave you 2 more weeks than you're even asking for. Bad news is you got a drop dead date of July 5, 2017, and if there's no notice of compliance in this file, that fine will immediately start to run and will continue thereafter.
I'll make you very happy, Your Honor. I'll make sure that is finished.
More importantly, you need to make that gentleman standing next to you happy. And one thing you cannot forget to do is, as you're done with these things, call for an inspection.
Of course.
You forget about the inspection, that fine will start to accrue. It'll be as if you never did anything.
Yes.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. You have a good day.
Case number 8, Nicholas M. Ulsh. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. Kelty, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that there was a recent change of ownership on this property. The change occurred, though, while the property was in the status of imposition of a fine. The position of the city is that the buyer stepped into the shoes of the respondent. It's not in compliance. It still remains in non-compliance. It was a tenant complaint that brought this to the attention of the city. The inspector is requesting a $300 day fine to a maximum of $15,000. And I would tend to Mr. Stinson on, I'm not sure on the question of whether the property is still occupied or the need for a continued rental license, but I will tend to those issues to Mrs. Stinson and find out.
So we know this property's changed hands?
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. Yes, sir, the property has changed hands. It's now in ownership of an LLC.
Did you have the paperwork on that? I hadn't seen it.
I'm looking for it right as we speak. I don't have that one. In fact, it's very, very new as far as... in fact, I did get it just past Thursday, and I was out of the office Friday and Monday. However, there is a new owner, and it's an LLC.
Do we know if this new owner has any knowledge of this?
He does. He does. It's related to Mr. Maroney. And I believe that Mr. Jackson is familiar with him.
What am I looking at here?
This is the current status of the property as of Thursday afternoon.
So it doesn't have a roof?
This is the illegal, you were looking at the illegal addition to the property. And that's being removed. That's why there's no roof on it right now. Now we have outside storage out up front. New windows. This window is still broken. And these gentlemen were there removing the illegal addition on the property. Outside of that, there's been no change.
And you indicated the new owner is aware of this notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
How do they know? How do you know they know of the violation?
He was actually here on one of the hearings. He actually
attended one of the hearings. Okay, because 6 months from now when someone looks for a lien relief, and the new owner buys into this knowing it looks like that, and he's not doing anything either. I want to be sure to remember that instead of hearing the usual poor mouth thing about how he's just an innocent third-party purchaser.
No, he's well aware of it.
Okay. What's the relief the city's looking for?
The city's asking for $300 a day, $300 per day until it maxes out at $15,000.
Mr. Kelty, if I can just advise you of the information regarding the owner, at least what appears on the property appraiser's website. They indicate a new an owner by the name of Village Resources and Real Estate LLC. And they're at 11142 Iron Bridge Road, Orlando, Florida. So that's the that's what's now recorded. Well, that's what's now at the property appraiser's website. I'm not sure what's recorded. Okay. Yeah, there's recorded.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. The sum of $300 per day, commencing May 4, 2017. And that fine will continue to accrue until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. In addition to that, I'm also going to require the payment of the $250. Now, did they obtain their business tax receipt?
I'm sorry.
Did they obtain their business tax receipt?
No, sir. It's not occupied at this point, and I've been advised that it's just being flipped to sell.
Just being what?
Flipped to sell.
All right. So, anyway, so am I interested in the business tax receipt or not?
No, sir.
Very good. Okay. I guess that's that. Anyway, I don't know if I finished it out or be returned to the special magistrate. No, what am I talking about? I am fining. $300 per day, commencing May 4, 2017, to continue to accrue till in compliance of the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Case number 9, James and Jacqueline Faye Davis. Anyone here for the respondent?
Ms. Vakelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the fence has been repaired. They're awaiting their inspection for the rental license, and so we're asking to amend to the next cutoff date.
All right, based on the city's presentation, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until June 7, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Mike Nelson. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that nothing's changed with his property. Mr. Stinson further reports that his interaction with the owner left him with an impression that they weren't willing to do what was needed to comply. He's asking, this has been first notified in January of 2017. Mr. Stinson is asking that a fine of $300 a day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000 plus a $250 administrative fee. And I turn to Mr. Stinson for any additional factual questions.
Where do you see the $250 administrative fee?
There is not one. That's an error. I stand corrected.
Okay, so Mr. Stinson, we're not getting any cooperation here?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. Qualifications are on file. No, sir. One contact during the initial inspection and nothing after.
Very good. All right, then I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $300 per day, commencing May 4, 2017. And the fine will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Patrick D. Knox. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Vakelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Plus the one-time administrative fee. Mr. Stinson is the inspector, and Mr. Stinson reports that all violations still exist. This property was first notified on February 9th, 2017. Mr. Stinson is requesting that a $300 per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 admin fee. And I turn to Mrs. Stinson.
So how much work is being done? Little? None?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. Qualifications are on file. There's been nothing done. This is a repeat violation, actually. It was like this a few years ago. It went vacant for a short period of time. The owner rented it out again, and the tenant called again. Or the new tenant called again, and all of the violations still existed.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of commencing May 4, 2017, sum of $300 per day, which will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, and also order that the respondent pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain its business tax receipt. New cases. Case number 13, Ruta or RUTA Resorts LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, sir, you would please state your name and be sworn.
Stephanie Hardesty.
H-A-R-D-I-S-T-Y. swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
And what is your affiliation with RUTA Resorts LLC?
I'm speaking on behalf of Mr. Ruta, and I'm his fiance.
You're speaking on behalf of Mr. Ruta. That's Mr. Ruta?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We good to go, Tony?
And I presume Mr. Ruta is the owner of this LLC, is the managing, okay, manager. Okay. We're good to go.
Zoning violation. The property is zoned SFR5, short-term rentals, known as other accommodations, are not a permitted use in the zoning district. Failure to obtain required residential rental license. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
At that time, yes, sir. We're now in compliance.
First things first. All right. With that, given the response by the respondent, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, what has to happen next, particularly since the respondent indicates they're now in compliance?
Mr. Kelcher, the request is for finding of non-compliance, which you've done, and the acknowledgement now that they are in compliance. That's the sole request of the city at this time, that announcement that they're in compliance and a finding of non-compliance and announcing that they're now in compliance.
Okay. Does the city need to inspect anything? Are they satisfied with Ms. Hardesty's representation?
We're satisfied. This, in effect, what we would have called our will find before, we don't do it as frequent, but yes, we just wanted a finding of non-compliance and an acknowledgement that they're now in compliance. And an announcement that the effect of the repeat violation, which is any future violations, there will be subject to a fine of up to $5,000 per day or per occurrence.
Okay. All right, Ms. Hardesty, you understand all that?
May I paraphrase it to make sure I do, sir? What I understand is that we are now in compliance, and we will stay in compliance. If we go out of compliance again, we're subject to a fine of $5,000?
Up to $5,000.
Per day. Is that correct?
Per day, per occurrence.
Per occurrence, yes.
Before you go start playing with any sharp weapons, it usually takes a few violations graduate to $5,000, so let me just point that out to you.
Yes, sir.
But nonetheless, it's a serious matter, and repeat violations are dealt with sternly.
Yes, sir.
You good to go?
We have a request, Your Honor. I'd like to, if we could, flip back to the picture of the house that I just saw on the board. It's been quite an education sitting in the court this morning and watching the type of properties that you're looking at. This is not one of those properties. We have spent a good $70,000+ renovating this into a very good-looking property for the neighborhood. We respect the neighborhood and are really trying to do the right thing here. In order to attract the type of customer that would potentially rent this house long-term, it's about a 3,200-square-foot property, we're going to need a little bit of time to transition. We were in correctly doing short-term vacation rentals. We've now learned the hard way that that's not okay, and we're going to respect that. What we're asking Your Honor to consider, and we've been working with Mr. Cliff on this, is that on the vacation rental site where we were advertising, there is a way to advertise for a 6-month-plus rental. And we would like to respectfully ask the court to be allowed to do that so that we can transition this property from short-term into long-term and try and get, you know, the revenue to begin to pay ourselves back for the 70-plus investment in it. This is a large property, sir. It's completely renovated since the 1920s. It was a boarding house. It's what it originally was back in the day. It's on Goodall Street. So we've had to go in there and do things like fix the sewer system, the old sewer system that was the lead pipes. We've had to go into the walls, fix the lead piping, replace it with PVC. We've taken back what was an ugly screened-in porch with AstroTurf on it back to the original look of the house. We've gone in and redone all the woodwork. You know, we've really made this into what I would consider a really high-end property. We have to go after a high-end kind of client that would want to live in that neighborhood, possibly school their children there, and being willing to, you know, to pay a more premium rent. That was our desire when we went in to redo this property. And so we thought by changing the parameters and putting it on the site for 6 months that would put us in compliance, but Cliff is saying that no, we need to really be off the site completely. So what we'd like to ask for is to be on the site, but be on it for 6 months to a year kind of rental to allow us to attract. We're not going to find the kind of customer we want in this house on Craigslist or even on Zillow. You know, we need a high-end kind of customer, and those sites do reach out to international-type clients who might be interested in vacationing Daytona the whole summer, plus some. The kind of customers who might rent it for 6 months plus for the winter. The house is fully furnished. We spent a lot of money, you know, furnishing it.
Well, I understand everything you're saying, but my suspicion is you're talking about something way above my pay grade. All right, so what you talking about, Tony? And what, if any, relief can she get, if not here, from somewhere else?
I don't believe any relief is necessary from here. Mr. Vakelja, what she's asking to do is to continue to advertise on a specific site, a site that is constantly reviewed for short-term rentals, and we're making determinations that properties are being advertised as short-term rental properties. She's indicating that she will be advertising a legal rental on advertising for the terms that's allowed by our code. If she is, whether it's that site or anywhere else in any other site, then obviously, well, I won't say obviously, but there's not a whole lot we can do about her advertising for lawful rental. The
rental meaning 6 months or more?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So the issue becomes, of course, that those sites still will be monitored, and she will see that, and if it's showing it's a six-month rental, then it is, if that's what she's advertising. There's two ways this ordinance is violated. One is by actually renting for the shorter period of time or advertising for the shorter period of time. So if she's advertising for a longer period of time, there still would be the concern or the question of whether or not she's actually renting it shorter. And so that's only things that can be done through observation and whatever complaints we receive from the neighborhoods. Obviously, it raises some concern that to ways of circumventing possibly the limitations of the ordinance. It's very clear.
Circumventing the limitations of the ordinance by advertising for a legal term.
Well, I'm just saying if the intent is
site and that makes you nervous.
Well, if the intent is to advertise for long term but actually rent for a short term, then it becomes an issue. So, but otherwise, yes. Otherwise, there's nothing else.
Did that explain anything for
address.
You, Ms. Hardesty?
Yes, sir. Mr. Root and I have no interest in coming in court and doing things illegally. We've renovated this house to a high standard. We want to bring in the right kind of customer. This proper advertising helps us do that.
Well, the impression I got, as long as you're promoting or advertising a legal term, it doesn't really matter where you're doing it. That's my read on.
Yes, sir. We would be advertising a legal term 6 months plus.
And as long as that's the case, then I would think you'd be fine.
Yes, sir.
If it turns out you're doing, in fact, something different, that's another story.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Faye. What was the outcome of that?
Yeah, you found a non-conforming.
The outcome of that is, and now based upon the testimony of Ms. Hardesty, as well as the presentation by the city attorney, I now find the respondent to be in compliance. But that, for every future violation, the respondent shall be returned to the special magistrate for a fine of up to $5,000 per day and or occurrence. Okay. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
It's an ugly way to end, the moment. There you go. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Faye R. Smith. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector in this case is Cliff Reconcone. Mr. Reconcone reports, this is before you find a determination of compliance or noncompliance, and Mr. Reconcone reports that he's had no communication from the respondent. he's requesting that you make a finding of noncompliance and get a respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Noting the absence of the respondent, based on the city attorney's presentation, I'm finding the respondent to be in noncompliance and ordering the respondent to come into compliance by June 7, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 15 is in compliance. Case number 16 is in compliance. Case number 17, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, folks, let's go. Who do we have?
Attorney Joel Osborne, representing Seaside, GEA Seaside Investments.
Joel Osborne?
Yes, sir.
Jack Aberman.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yep.
Okay. Counselor, do we agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
We do not comment on that. We do have a problem with notice, and Florida statute, it is, I think it is 12.12. We do not feel notice was proper in this instance. There was certified mail delivered, but it was not signed for. And if there's no certified mail signed for, then it has to be posted on the residences and then at either the courthouse or the municipality. So do you have any signature from a return receipt from the certified mail?
Counselor, hang on a second. I'll take care of who's going to be questioning anybody for starters. Okay? All right. So we've got a notice of issue right from the outset, Mr. City Attorney. Before we go any further, what say you to that?
Mr. Kelger, I have in my hand the USPS tracking results and a signed green card dated 2/4/17, it appears. Best reading. And I would represent to you that the inspector will testify that they were delivered as a packet to and signed for.
Is that your signature?
No.
I'm familiar with my client's signature, and that is not my client's signature.
Okay, so who signed for it?
I have no idea.
I'm asking. We can produce his signature if you would like, and that is not his signature.
Yeah, well, my 12-year-old kid signs for stuff for me at the house.
Well, there's no 12-year-old kid at this residence here.
Just because somebody else signed for it doesn't.
Well, still, you have to satisfy the due process requirement, and that means.
Okay, the question is, if somebody at that location signed for it, then service may be proper. That's all I'm asking.
And
so, can you tell from that signature if that's somebody you know?
No, I have a locked mailbox who's already sitting in
there.
I have a locked mailbox, so I have no idea. Nobody signed for it.
How do you receive certified mail?
I rarely get certified mail, and if I do, then it's usually through contact of the mailman. But they never came to me with this package. That's not my signature either.
Okay. All right, what's in the city?
Mr. Kelger, I would call the inspector. I would represent to you that the inspector also delivered the package to the business address of the of Mr. Aberman, which where she will testify that she stuck it in the box. As he indicated, it's a locked box, but she stuck it as far as it would go in the box and took photos of that, and I will have her testify as to that.
I'm sorry, Amy, what did you say? The first certification, CB1. Okay. You have the one for the other one.
Okay, so we talked about two that's different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this some clarification so we know which one we're talking about. You're talking about the...
The original CB1, the notice of violation, is okay. This one.
You're challenging the
yes, and that's not
notice
proper,
of hearing?
And that's not proper hand... If you're going to do hand delivery, that's not hand delivery. And if you're going to leave notice like that without a being that's returned, it needs to be posted at two places.
That's not the question.
But
what are you challenging?
I'm challenging the delivery of notice for both the notice of hearing and the initial violation.
Okay. The well, this is your notice of violation. You're good on that.
Mm-hmm. And there's the one for the notice of hearing.
Excuse me.
No. So you have both of them.
Okay, so. What I was given as well, Ms. Lekelje, is the green card dated 5/1/17, signed, again, within the signature that appears to be Jack Aberman's, but I don't know that. And I'll present this for to counsel. This would represent the delivery of the notice of hearing.
Again, is this your signature? Is this one your signature?
No.
That is not your signature?
No.
Yes, we just contest the notice. We do not feel notice was proper. We feel if you don't have a certified mail with his exact signature, then you have to do it by the statute, and the statute requires that 10 days before the hearing, you have to post notice of hearing at the actual residence that's in violation, and then you have to also post notice at either the municipality or the courthouse. So we do not feel notice is proper. We feel that you need to serve us properly for all these for all these properties that you feel are in violation, and that is our contention.
Now, is that going to be your contention for all these cases?
Yes. All these cases were delivered in this little packet. It all came together. None of these notices were proper, and that is our contention.
They were delivered in a little packet with the green card attached that's now signed.
No, they weren't. There was no signature. It was left in a locked mailbox without a signature, and that is not proper notice.
Okay, what say the city?
Glowanda Davis, City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. The property owner was given two notices. The original one that went certified and then a hand-delivered one to a box that said I was not supposed to leave mail, that the police were going to be called, and I put it in there as a second notice. The original notice went out as certified, which is what we have here.
The original notice went out as certified. You received a signed return receipt back?
That's correct. For the
was that
original
signed in your presence?
No, sir.
So that was left behind in what? His mailbox, lockbox?
The third package. But the original CEB1 was delivered, which we have the certified for, and the notice of hearing was delivered certified, which we have a signature for. The third package that was left at his mailbox was just an additional step for me to make sure he got everything he needed.
Okay. So it's your contention that although you don't know who ultimately signed that return receipt, somebody with access to that mailbox received that certified mail and signed that card?
That's correct.
And so how is the card then returned to you?
By U.S. Postal Service.
So, and how mechanically does that take place? Somebody hand it back to a mailman? They stick it in the mailbox?
Mm-hmm. It goes back to a mailman and it's delivered to our office.
Okay. All right. Okay. What say counsel?
With certified mail, it's my impression that the mailman actually gets the signature from the the actual, you know, person that the mail is getting delivered to, or, you know, someone over 15 at the residence. My client has not been delivered anything from the mailman. There's been no signature. Both of these signatures are not his, and we could, that's something that we could actually prove. That's something that can actually be determined. And the way she left the third notice, the third, you know, the third one that she just put in there, that's not hand delivery. Dropping in the mailbox is not proper service. So if they do not have proper service, which we are contending for these two, then the third one is definitely not proper, because that is not correct for hand delivery.
What say the city?
Well, first of all, Ms. Vickelch, what council is asking, and I have not had a chance to research it, but it sounds like something that is, I would expect to be well covered in the law, is
you
that
expect what?
Would be well covered in the law, is that this was delivered by U.S. Postal Service to a recipient. We're not present when it's delivered. It was signed by a green card. That's what certified mail occurs. It's attached to the package. It's received. It's signed. And so what we're being asked to do now is to produce whichever postal individual that may have been present at the time of the signature to verify that, indeed, Mr. Aberman was the one who signed it. What we have is signed green cards from the point of delivered to the business and returned, delivered by a certified mail with a fair, reasonable presumption that it was delivered because we have the return card. In addition to that, to ensure that they were well informed, the inspector left a secondary notice. That notice she took to the location of a registered agent, put it in a box because there was no person there to receive it, took a photograph of that. She posted it at City Hall and followed all the subsequent steps as well as affidavit to say that this was delivered. So in both circumstances, it was delivered. The effect of a claim of lack of notice in this situation, it just, if along with everything else, I'd be interested in Mr. Aberman coming forward and testifying that it never came to him and he never signed. But even with that testimony, it's just incredible to create a situation that says that the burden of the city is to go find a postal agent who delivered it and prove that that's Mr. Aberman's signature.
Counselor, are we in agreement? You're on notice now?
Yes, but even if
this matter gets moved till next month, we have no notice complaints.
None at all. And that's
okay, so if that's the case, instead of wallowing around in this gray area, I don't want to say gray area, instead of going forward and taking a chance on anything, is there any particular prejudice to the city now that counselor has acknowledged that he'd be on notice if these things were rescheduled for next Monday and there would be no notice objection? What's the problem with moving it to June? I mean, I just want to make sure whatever happens here
sticks, yes.
Whatever that may be. That's my interest. I see 29 cases here. I'm not going to ignore a single one of them. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder wondering if there's a service issue and 29 cases are going to get undone somewhere else when for 30 days, I can eliminate the problem altogether.
And Ms. Vickelch, I agree with you. I think that's the best solution, and we can discuss time for compliance and all those other things at the continuance date when you make a determination.
We're talking about a delay of 30 days, but I'm more interested in finality
and
doing something here.
Our hope and belief is that there has been some direction from Mr. Aberman, that it appears that he is making some efforts to get started on doing some things. So we'll see.
Of those situations at the next, and is the same. I want to be clear here. I'm looking at 29 cases on this agenda for GEAC Site Investments Incorporated. Are you raising notice objections to all 29 of them?
Yes, we were. But
and
if you give us
objection,
say that again, Your Honor.
It's the same objection that I just heard.
Yes.
And you're on notice of them now.
Yes.
And so if we reschedule all these for June 13th, we have no notice objections, and we can proceed directly to the merits of each of these cases.
Yes, we can.
That's your stipulation?
Yes, we will stipulate that.
Special magistrate?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to be heard one more time before I decide on anything?
No, nothing further. Mr. Vakelja, the inspector, is fine with that suggested resolution.
All right, then I'm continuing cases 17. Please correct me if I'm saying something wrong here. Cases 17 through 45 to the June 13, 2017 meeting. And GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated through counsel has already stipulated and agreed. They're on notice of the notice of violation. They're on notice of the upcoming hearing. We in agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
And with that, we proceed to the merits. I'm sorry, what?
I just wanted to get the counsel's contact information so I can make sure send you the order.
Yes, I do.
Now, let me ask one question while we're all here, since we're talking 29-some cases. And this is just a question. Don't read anything into it one way or the other. But if we're dealing with 29 cases, do we need a special setting? Are we going to be able to address these during a regular meeting?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector, believes that we will be able to address them. She doesn't think we need a special meeting. I don't know about other counsel.
Fair enough.
We were not going to request a special meeting.
Very good. All right. Then cases...
Will you guys still send a notice of hearing?
17 through 45.
Yes, she'll send it to my contact.
Are continued to the June 13, 2017 meeting. And I've already stated for the record the stipulations regarding notice. Very good. We'll see you all June 13th.
If just one thing, I'm sorry.
Do we have anyone else that wants to be heard on this before I make a... Well, do we have anyone else that wants to be heard on this at this time?
Okay.
Very good.
I did want just one clarification. Typically, when you're continuing you for the purpose of a finding of compliance, non-compliance, and compliance date. So right. I say typically when you're continuing the initial meeting, you're doing that for the purpose of the finding of compliance or non-compliance, which is our initial determinations, as well as the finding of a the determination of a compliance date. Right. So just clarification on the record on the order.
The order eliminating is the notice issue.
Yes, sir.
And with that, we proceed to the merits. Sure. Very good. All right, folks. We'll see you on June 13th.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. All right. Case number...
Yeah, we're really going to try to get in. So hopefully,
under miscellaneous business, I have Charles and Bertha, Charles L. and Bertha J. Hogan.
Yes, sir. This is one where it was in compliance the day of the meeting when you were supposed to find, which the inspector was unaware of until later in the afternoon. So I think they're just asking for a dismissal of the fine because it would have been announced in compliance.
That's correct.
So, what is that I'm doing? I've already ordered a fine?
Yes, and then he was in compliance that afternoon.
So, it sounds like I'm vacating the fine and now finding the respondent in compliance.
Yes, sir.
Okay, based on the presentation by the city attorney, I'm vacating the fine previously entered in this matter. Okay. Here we go. Okay, I'm vacating the fine that was imposed. Is that 11 or 14? Anyway, I'm vacating the fine that was imposed on either April 11th or April 14th of 2017 and finding now that the respondent is in compliance.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other business to be brought before his special magistrateness?
No, sir.
If not,